Welcome to the afternoon session. This is the session where everybody after lunch nods off. So I'll be your moderator for this session until the next break. Basically, we have a concentration of spread spectrum related papers for this session. By some quirk of fate, I lead off. Okay. I actually just submitted two papers to this thing, and I ended up speaking three times at this conference. So that was not planned. So the paper I'm going to present was written by Barry McLernan and myself. So I lost the coin toss. So I'm presenting. So what we tried to do with this paper was to add some perspective on our own personal perspective on what's been going on with the with spread spectrum over the years. Now, the ARRL source book is a good source of information and has a lot of good stuff in it. And Tapper's about to come out with its own spread spectrum publication. Okay, we were trying to have it ready for the DCC and we didn't make it. Okay, but it's going to be available in another month or so, and it'll cost $15. And the title is "Spread Spectrum: Tales from the Rebel Alliance." Okay. I won't go into it. There's sort of an in-joke there, so I think those of you who got it. Okay. So what I want to do is to give a little update on where we are with spread spectrum in the amateur service, and then I want to talk about some of the exciting new radio that Tapper's going to make available, a spread spectrum radio, to our members. So the Tapper STA, spread spectrum STA, is still in effect. We have to essentially renew it with the FCC every 6 months, so we have to go through this paperwork procedure. The thing is that we're already about up for renewal again, so we have to do another report in November and then send another letter in to get the thing renewed. But here's the thing. We only have 5 people who are active under the STA right now, okay? I mean, we dropped everybody else. Basically, what we had was after the FreeWave incident, where we were going to buy FreeWave radios and sell them to the membership, and a lot of people joined the STA, and then when that deal fell through, everybody lost interest in doing anything with spread spectrum because they didn't have any radios to do anything with. So, that's where it is. We have basically 5 people who are doing their own hardware or whatever with spread spectrum. And I will just leave it at that. Okay. Yeah. Well, pardon? If you haven't been, we notified the ones that have been dropped. So if you weren't notified, you weren't dropped. Okay? So don't jump out of your skin yet. Okay? No.
What you're saying is you've got 5 active people experimenting, but some of us are still on the list.
Well, we're going to make another cut here come November. Okay. So we're going to put out the clarion call. Okay, it's time to tell us what you've been doing. If you haven't been doing anything, then... I mean, it's basically if you submitted a report, a written report in English, then we kept you on the FTA. It's that simple. Okay, where are we with the rulemaking? Well, the FCC put out the NTRM last year, and we went through the whole reply comment cycle. And if we looked at the comments that were filed, and most of them are up on the Tapper website, they fall into 3 categories: for, against, and then Part 15 interest. So the people that were for, they think spread spectrum is great. The against, basically, there's concerns about interference. Okay, sort of a not in my backyard type of thing. So, we've been over those issues again and again and again, so I won't address them here. Again, all the comments are up on the website. The Part 15 interests are basically saying that we should limit our power level to the same power level we're limited to. So we have sort of a contention between a licensed service and an unlicensed service, saying that they should have equal rights with us in the spectrum that we're sharing. So, the most likely outcome. I don't expect to see any action on this matter from the commission until after the amateur radio restructuring NPRM is dealt with. I mean, there's only so much bandwidth they have there. So, and it, to be blunt, this is a really difficult issue because it raises a number of very interesting technical issues. So I think there's still time for us to try to influence certain decision makers there to try to get this thing to come out how we want. But I don't think we're really clear yet on how we really want this to come out. You may be surprised by saying that, but you got to really look at the results. I mean, we really haven't been doing a lot with spread spectrum. We talk about it a lot, and we run a lot of papers, but we're not really doing anything with it. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but having a rulemaking, say we get a report and order and now spread spectrum is legal and we don't have the limited free spreading codes and stuff, then what are we going to do? Okay? I mean, what have we fought for? So think about it. Okay. I want to talk about some radios that we're going to make available so that people can do something with spread spectrum. Okay? There was a company that I founded back in 1990 that since went down the tubes. I left in 95, so this product that you see there on the table, it's a TAL 2001 subspace radio, was developed after I left the company. But anyway, the company went bankrupt, and the person who got the assets of TAL out of bankruptcy court has made the entire inventory of these 2001 radios available to Tapper. Okay? So what it consists of is there's basically two kind of radios. They're basically a Silink radio that you can actually buy from Silink now for about $3,000, okay? And the radio from Silink goes 64 kilobits, okay, semi-duplex. And the version, TAL had a special version of the radio made to talk to sort of a MAG-PHY that TAL developed, and so that radio goes 160 kilobits. So, I've been using a number of these radios in the Bay Area for over a year now. And they basically, the 900 megahertz radio puts out 850 milliwatts and can easily go up about 20 miles. And I have a number of users using it at that 20-mile range. Okay. And they've been running for, most of them, like about at least 6 months now with no problem. So it's a good radio. The Talnet router, TAL developed sort of, they took K9Q as a point of departure and just rewrote it from top to bottom. So it's called Talnet and it has automatic power control and a lot of other goodies in it. So the person who got the assets of TAL from bankruptcy court may make Talnet the source code available to Tapper. So we may have a reference platform that we can use however we see fit. But that's not a sure thing yet. We need to see what happens with these radios. So what we're going to do is start making these. We had these radios at Dayton, and then we were using them at Dayton. So those of you who were at Dayton saw these things working. That one right now is not hooked up. It's just there for display. But it does work. Okay, and that's a 2.4 gigahertz radio that's underneath the router. So we're going to make available these radios for $550, which includes the radio and the router. Okay. Now, how we're going to do this is sort of like Greg will put something up on the website, Tapper website, and you can make a request for these things. And I have the entire inventory in my garage in California, so what I'm going to do is I want to get out of this whole thing. I mean, I just have the inventory. I just was the most convenient place to dump all this stuff. So we have about, 5,900 megahertz radios and about 60 to 70 2.4 gigahertz radios and a whole bunch of routers, some working, some not. And we have a whole bunch of parts to build routers with. Okay. So I think this is a good deal for, I mean, now, you know, I mean, if the radio goes for $3,000 from Silink if you bought it today. So, you know, the router and the radio for $550. Yes, Doug?
Now, this radio, you said, that this now, would this work in anybody doing the MCA?
Yeah, you got to be under the FDA to run this. This is direct sequence radio. The channel width is 5 megahertz. Yeah, you can run it Part 15. Well, with this radio, you can operate it under Part 97 under the FDA, but you don't have to. I mean, the power levels are such that the EIRP is within Part 15. Right. So unless you find an amplifier that you want to put on it.
If I wanted to get in the FDA, what kind of things would you expect me to do or apply or use with this radio? Can you give us an example of an FDA person with a radio like that?
Well, we'd like you to experiment with this thing. No, we're not trying to do that. But for instance, one of the issues, like I'm in the Bay Area, which is where Metricon is, and I have a lot of the 900 megahertz radios deployed, and I've been looking very carefully at interference to and from Metricon, okay? And I've been able to deploy these radios and not really get any interference out of Metricon. Now, I'm not sure if I'm interfering with them, but they haven't come and knocked on my door, okay? All the stuff, all the reports we followed are posted on the website. Well, a lot of the stuff that's been written up is not very what I would call high quality research. Or okay, some of the stuff we've had some good reports. Like for instance, Tom has written up
we have the stuff with the antennas, looking at horizontal versus vertical for. Direct sequence and frequency hopping. We've had, you know, it's a little bit of everything. So.
Yeah.
And these radios are direct sequence or frequency hop?
Direct sequence.
We used them as deck. You know, we ran them from the form room back to the booth, and they worked real well. And the only little trouble we had is they had all the metal doors between us and the form room club.
Well, the FDA group, have they identified certain aspects of probably even experiments doing, so there's people can be on their own or people can be going after a goal. Is there a particular goal?
Well, look, Greg and I are on the FTA. We're the FTA holders, okay? And the guidelines we set down was that we're not going to dictate what people should be doing, okay? We're just acting as administrators. So we try to set some quality standards for the reports. So there's been sort of like, hey, write this in English instead of Swahili, you know, type of stuff. But other than that, you know, we let people say what they want to say and do what they want to do.
I mean, we want to make sure that people are experimenting with things that they're interested in. We don't do, I mean, if we set out the whole, this is what you should be doing, people have trouble buying into that. We have plenty of ideas if you want to do ideas to do stuff. But like a program like Dick Birmingham, we're doing idea stuff under a different FCC thing before it came and joined us and shared that. But part of it is figuring out something that you're interested in doing or something that's local in your area or something that's applicable to you, that you buy into it and you spend the time doing it and then writing it up. So typically a failure in amateur radio is, yeah, we want you to do this, and if you don't buy into that, then nothing ever gets done. You have lots of people, you know, in the FDA not doing it.
Yeah.
The range with the big works are about 22 miles, 235 to 22 miles.
With how many feet antennas?
That's one of those good experiments.
Right.
If you're in free space, you get 20 miles. If you get down close to the ground and you're doing that match between them.
Well, what's close to the ground? 75 foot?
Well, I use three waves on an oceanographic buoy, and if I'm 4 miles away, I'd be 40 feet up. If I'm down 22 feet, I can't talk to you.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I can't think. Okay. Look, you know, you'll have to find out. That's what experimentation is all about. Okay. Okay. So I've done with my time, so thank you. We're going to move on to the next presenter. Matt, we got a problem. I don't have a floppy disk drive on my Mac.